So, as previously discussed, my mom is in has been in the hospital. She just yesterday moved to a skilled nursing facility, but she doesn't want to stay there, and she wants to go back to her assisted living facility and to live out her remaining days, which might be few. So it's been a lot getting to this point and dealing with this point and just lots of tears, lots of there's no words for it. There's no words for it. It's rough. Hello, listener. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast where we process our trauma in
Nah, fuck you. It's not about you, life. Listener.
No,
this isn't about you. We love you, but this isn't about you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope you'll forgive the potential clumsiness of this question.
Absolutely.
But I'm just going to steamroll it ahead and see what happens. Is there anything that you and you don't have to tell me what it is if there is anything. Is there anything that you would want to say to your mother?
Right. Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of what questions should I be asking? What things should I be saying? I feel like I've been saying the things that I need to say.
Yeah.
We've actually had some pretty good, loving talks in the hospital and in her, care facility before she got to the hospital. And we've been reconnecting quite a bit over the past 6 months or more. Maybe about a year. And it's been good. It's been really good for her. It's been good for me. There's been a lot of distance throughout my life with her, and it's
from which direction?
Oh, both.
Okay.
I mean, she started it,
okay.
But I continued it, and yeah, I mean, like, yeah, it started in many ways during my childhood. Like, part of it was that my dad tuned out at a certain point around like age 6 or 7. And then my mom got really depressed about that and wanted to leave, but wanted to stay together for the kids. And then, just kind of tumbled further and further into a depression. And then my sister really wanted to go to a school that was just a little bit too far away. And my dad wanted to stay where he was. So my mom moved into an apartment with my sister in a different city, so that their commute could be smaller. So instead of going like an hour and a half, 2 hours a day in traffic, it'd be, you know, like 20 minutes, which makes sense for the commute. It doesn't make sense for the lonely little boy who needs love and support and health care and dental care and good nutrition and attention. So I was left alone with my neglectful father for what felt like an eternity, but was really like a school year. Maybe two? I think it was 2 school years.
How old were you then?
This was middle school, so it was like 7th and 8th grade. So I was like 12 and 13.
So, yeah, that is... if it's 2 years, that's a sixth of your life.
Yeah.
That's a significant.
Yeah, bullshit. I felt completely abandoned. I felt like completely untethered. I had no I felt like I had no family. I had no family, and also no repercussions. I felt like I didn't matter.
The word at feral all. Was coming to mind.
Feral, yeah, absolutely. Like all I did, like I had a little bit of money because I was working at the gas station that my parents owned for a time. They had just sold it. I burned through like $2,000, which I had, which was a lot for a kid at fucking 13 to have.
I'll do some damage with $2,000 right now.
I burned through all of it at an arcade getting tickets for fucking junk. Mm-hmm. And then I would go to Walmart and whatever other stores in the city close to us, and shoplift video games and candy bars. And that was it. That was all of my time. And CDs, and there was no, at one point I did get caught shoplifting as a kid. And they didn't press charges or anything. I was let go. And my parents were like, "Have you ever stolen before?" I was like, "No, of course not." And then they're like, "Okay, obviously you have. Get everything that you've ever stolen and put it in a box and bring it out to us." So I did, which was like most of my room. It was a big box. And they're like, "Holy shit." They were not prepared.
These motherfuckers have got skills.
They were not prepared for how much was in that box. And then they're like, "Okay, we don't know what to do with this." Mm-hmm. So they put it in more or less a closet. It was actually a walk-in vault. It was like an 8-foot by 10-foot safe.
Basically, they British Museumed your stuff.
Yeah, but they didn't lock it. It was just they used that vault as a closet because
they
came
put
with
it in the place that we call away.
It came with the house.
It was an
art gallery that we converted into a house, and then they put it in there, and then I just went back. I just went into the box and took whatever I wanted back from whatever I needed, one thing at a time.
Now, it
was just an inconvenience of moving.
does that mean now that it's yours? Because you stole it.
I stole
it
from myself.
And then
it
was stolen from you, and then you stole it back. So I think that means it's yours now.
I think this is money laundering. I think this is how money laundering works. So I felt pretty alone. Long story long. And so in my quest for somebody to notice me, I clung hard onto somebody who realized, oh, they can get a lot out of me because I am very attentive and loving and available. So I entered into a very unhelpful marriage for a long time. And then, you know, that marriage pushed me farther away from, like, she intentionally isolated me from my family, and I was all for it because I felt completely neglected by them and abused by them and hurt by them, and like everything that she was saying made complete sense. It's like, well, yeah, like why would I give them any time or attention? And like I was reading a book about mother enmeshment and other things. Like it was just, a whole big thing. And so, you know, that's why I say she started it, but then I perfected it, you know, like I, kept it going for a long time, and she would make attempts to try and reach out again and connect with me. And I would try for a little bit, and then I'd push away again because of this reason or that reason. It doesn't matter. And then I got the divorce, which was great. But throughout my time post first marriage, she's been living in this house that has a bunch of mold in it. And, she's affected by it. I'm affected by it. When I come to visit her, She's also in a town that's like an hour and 45 minutes away, and it's like just inconvenient enough to not go all the time. And so there's like a bunch of these different barriers that are like keeping me from her again. And we try to text here and there, but like neither of us really like it. And yeah, so we're just still distant. We've just been distant so much. But yeah, we've been a bit more connected lately, and her new facility is in the town next to mine, and it's really easy to go see her, and it's been good this past couple months. Until it got very bad. It's kind of an avalanche of different symptoms all got super bad, and she's been Diet Coking herself to death, and it breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And she switched to water at one point, and she was off of it, and she was doing great. Her health was improving, like things were actually getting a lot better. And then Jim died, and she went back to it, and she just wanted one. She's like, I want some comfort, and she had one, and then it snowballed again, and she
This is purely my curiosity. This isn't me with any kind of agenda. Like, how much Diet Coke are we talking?
Probably between at the peak. You know what it's been kind of lately. I think it's between 2 and 4 cans a day. And everybody is being so supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You and Margaret and Carl and Cameron and anybody who knows about it, it's been really nice. It also feels really weird to be comforted. Probably because of the history I just outlined. Mm-hmm. I'm not used to really being comforted that much.
What do I do with this?
But it's weird. Like I feel like I'm not deserving of it. I'm not the person that needs it. And like, sure, I do, but also, I'm not the one dying.
No, but your mum is not Carl and Cameron's friend and Margaret's husband.
Yeah, but like, also, you know, Carl's going through a divorce. Cameron's, you know, he's got his things going on. Margaret's got her things going on. Like,
yeah, we've all got stuff going on. It's not a zero-sum game.
Exactly. Well, yeah. I just mean like, yeah. I think
love is not finite.
True.
I know, man. Those are all just excuses for why you don't. You know, you're finding it hard to accept the love.
And true.
And the care.
True.
And it's understandable why you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, God damn so it, much... it's there and you better fucking deal with it.
Well, I'm trying to deal with it, yeah.
Yeah.
it's odd. It's an odd feeling having so much love to give and feeling so hard at taking it. But I do appreciate it. I'm very happy with all that, the community that I've got around me. It was really hard, not last weekend, but the weekend. Last weekend was actually really great. Got away and just had a nice time at a friend's wedding. This is actually a coworker of, Margaret, who I met just once at a trivia night, and so I didn't really have a big connection to her or her family or a couple, you know, anything like that. And it was kind of a fun experience going to a wedding where you're just very loosely connected in any way, and you just get to enjoy a really nice ceremony and dinner, and then brunch the next morning. I was like, this is pretty great. Funnily enough, there was one person I did know there who I was playing dodgeball with that last season, and I was like, whoa, what are you doing here? This is nice. Crazy. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it was out in this summer camp facility that they rented for the, it's also a wedding venue, of course, and it was like out in the woods, super tall trees, very naturey, no traffic noises. It was just peaceful and wonderful. And they have this massive slip and slide. It was like probably 8 feet wide and 300 feet long. And it went down a pretty steep hillside and then went flat for like a long time. And they had like sprinklers all set up throughout the whole thing. And there's a woman at the top, like as a lifeguard, who's like has a hose and is spraying it down with like water and a little bit of like dish soap or something to get it all slick. And there's a slight little groove near the middle so that you go right down the groove and don't slide off. And it was, you know, it's beautiful outside, like 75 degrees and sunny, and it was just perfect. So Margaret and I did that together a bunch, and there was a little bit of a competition of who could slide the farthest, and I won handily, which was really gratifying. And Margaret and I got to slide down together a couple times, and yeah, it was super fun. So the last weekend was great. The weekend before that, I was doing a project for a client who has a condo up on Mount Hood and needed me to replace every wire nut in the entire condo with a different style of wire nut because it's aluminum wire connected to copper wire. And there's a possibility of the wire nut failing and causing arcing between the two wires, which will melt the aluminum and cause a fire. So it has to be a specific type of screw down connection with a little bit of anti-oxidation goo on it. And that's all fine and good. It's tedious and comprehensive and fucking involved, but that's just work. It's fine. The problem was is that there is some sort of mold or mildew situation in that condo that I've noticed each time I go there, but every time I'm like, no, it'll be fine. Because that's what it always feels like. It's like, no, it'll be fine. But I get there and I'm immediately wanting sweets and caffeine and to just get high and curl up in a ball and escape, but also not leave the fucking condo and not walk around the beautiful like golf course or mountain or anything that's right there outside the door. I just want to stay in this fucking condo and do nothing. So that was super. And at the same time, I'm getting these messages from my sister who's taking care of my mom about, okay, we might have days left. I'm not sure. We're trying to figure things out. Things take a turn for the worse. Don't come home yet, but stay on standby. And so that was a fucked weekend. That just, I got a third. I worked about a third as much as I had planned, and it was it was rough.
What is the overall what's the overall sort of state of things at the moment? Are you feeling on alert, on edge?
Are you exhausted?
Yeah.
I got 2 hours of sleep last night while in bed for like 9.
This will sound like a stupid question.
Cool.
Because you're like, well, fucking everything. But what specifically is keeping you up?
Oh, yeah. When I was laying down at one point, like soon after I laid down, I just started bawling And I was thinking, like, okay, what am I actually crying about? Like, what's the thing that's making me sad? And it's like, okay, well, of course, my mom. But also, like, I don't, as previously stated, I don't feel a big connection with my mom. There's a big severance there. And we've been working together on rebuilding our relationship recently. But I don't feel like, oh, I'm so sad because she's my mother and we have this bond. And it's like, that's just not there.
Yeah. I wouldn't, not that you are, but I wouldn't worry too much about why you're crying.
Exactly. I'm not worried about it.
You're just dealing with a lot, and that's, you know, that's one way, you know, dogs shake out the trauma.
Exactly.
And that's how it's, you know, because there's a lot going on. I remember being a small child, and I would start crying, and my mum would ask, "What's wrong?" And I would say, "I'm crying."
Exactly.
That's what's wrong.
My dad would say, "That doesn't help. Stop crying." Love you, Dad. Miss you. Man, it'd be so interesting to talk to him now. So I don't know. I just felt I felt too tired to sleep. I felt like just so like wired and empty, and I had a crazy dream that. When I finally did get to sleep, I had a crazy dream that my mom like was putting in the effort to live and like was back at her facility and trying really hard and doing a bunch of good things, and then she actually got so much better that she could walk around again, and she stood up and stood next to me. I was like, "Whoa, Mom, you're standing. Are you like, do you need a chair or to grab onto something or whatever?" And she's like, "Oh no, I'm good." And she takes a step backwards and falls down, and her head pops off. Like a Lego. And there's no blood or anything. It was just like, and my sister and I are there, and we're like in complete denial about it. We're just like, "Oh, okay, well, maybe we'll clean the apartment and we'll just tidy up and potter around.
You were regionally accurate.
Yeah. I just wanted to make you laugh. Because I heard somebody else use that in the past couple weeks or whatever. And I was like, "Oh, I get that reference." And anyways, you know, dreams are weird, but.
Yeah.
I have some maybe distasteful jokes that we can get to. At some point, if we need a palate cleanser.
Excellent. Okay.
You're a fan of Lord of the Rings? You've seen the movies?
Sure.
Cool.
I thought we're talking.
If two trees fall in the forest, was that an Ent meets cute?
Yeah. Okay.
Because they call it, yeah. Okay.
That was a joke.
It was a joke.
Successful deployment of joke.
Okay. I've got three more. I'm trying to see which ones I should do. These ones are less.
I want all of them.
How is religion like a penis?
I don't know, Brendan. How is religion like a penis?
It's fine to have one or not have one, but problems start when you shove it down kids' throats.
No. I won. Oh, I don't know where my rim shot is. That'll do.
That'll do. Beep.
I thought I had a rim shot, but I guess I don't. That is how I accurately feel about religion.
What's the difference between a circus and a brothel?
The elephants? I don't know. What is the difference between a circus and a brothel?
A circus has cunning stunts.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
It's rather cruel that the my little device here has that, but it doesn't have, and it has, you know, that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have a rim shot.
That's silly.
It's so silly.
Well, get ready for your applause button, because this one's awful. Did you know that Nazis invented seltzer?
Well, that's actually true, but no, go on.
Who else would have thought to add gas to water? No sound effects.
Fanta is a Nazi beverage. Because not that they invented seltzer, but they wanted a Coke like product. They made the fizzy orange drink so that they didn't have to import anything from the US. And so Fanta, which is still sold today, was made by the Nazis. What is something that you can look forward to this week?
I'm very excited for the Weekender that we're doing in a week and a half, in 2 weekends. Yeah, that's going to be fucking cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Later today, I have the fourth or fifth out of seven of the marriage course that Margaret and I are going to, which has been really fun. It's a potluck every time, and people have been bringing like really good food. It's been a really good spread each time. And the video series has been it's very well produced. It's an enjoyable watch, and it's got really good prompts to engage in conversation with. And you know, it's kind of funny is that it has gotten Margaret and me to talk about things in a kind of more frank and vulnerable way that has been a bit uncomfortable. And it's kind of been like maybe part of me shouldn't be looking forward to this, because I don't actually like this part of the, I don't like this difficulty, you know? But I am looking forward to it. And I think that it's just a bit of effort that Margaret and I both need to make to understand our perspectives on the topics that we're talking about, kids. And because I think we both have thoughts and expectations around how the other person thinks about it and how the other person is acting about it. And
I know you brought up some stuff, I think, in our waffle chat, in our WhatsApp about some differences and sort of, things that were unsaid that you thought, like she thought, you thought, she thought.
Yeah.
The knot gets itself twisted like a pretzel.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and it's all a bit buried, because we think we know, so we don't talk about it until we talk about it, and then these things that we thought we know, that we've told ourselves so many times that we know, so it's reinforced internally, and then it's like, but that's not actually, that was never true from the start, and that's hard to undo, but we're working through it, and it's going well. This weekend, the plan was that I was going to go back out to Welch's, to the condo that has mold in it, to finish up the job. But I think I'm going to postpone that, and because it doesn't need to be done until October. And maybe spend more time with my mom and Owen while he's up here. Yesterday, I got to spend all day with, I got to spend half the day with Owen at a park, and that was just fantastic. And it's been helpful that I can just take time off work to go take care of Owen, because he has no limit of energy, and is just constantly going and needing attention and everything. And it's adorable, but it's a lot for Jessica to handle while she's also trying to do everything with my mom and trying to, she's the person responsible for her caretaking, well-being, medical and financial stuff.
Power of attorney and all that.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
is she the elder of the two of you? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. 2 years. Yeah. And, yeah. And she's doing a great job with that, and like all power to her. Cause I don't want to, or feel very capable of doing all that.
I think it's one of those things where you'd find it if you had to, you'd step up.
Sure. But also, I'm not as driven to, like, she was the one that went away with my mom to go to her dream school. So like, she's had a very different relationship with our mother than I have.
Sure.
She has not felt that giant neglect. And then she didn't get into a marriage that forced them apart. So like, they're pretty tight.
Yeah.
And so my sister cares deeply about that, all that stuff.
Can she understand where you and your mum have a different relationship and why?
When I tried to talk to her about that, she stopped talking to me for a year and a half.
So that, okay, yeah.
That was part of it, yeah.
Right, yeah.
She couldn't, I don't want to say what she thinks or doesn't think or whatever like that, but like, my impression is that she couldn't handle that idea as part of also other things that came up during that conversation. But maybe she completely understands, and it was just, you know, I don't know what she knows. Mm-hmm. But yeah, spending time with Owen, I'm very happy to be the person that can take all of his energy and redirect it into slides and swings and splash pads. So that's definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Is that Jessica and Owen are going to be up here for at least another week, probably like up to 3 weeks. And I'm going to take as much advantage of that time as possible, because man, I mean, she didn't speak to me for a year and a half, and then my mom got sick, and then we got to hang out again, and maybe this helps us reconnect. Maybe this is just a pause on our fight until my mom dies, and then I never see my sister again. Like, I don't know. No idea what the future holds. So
tomorrow will take care of itself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen whether or not to worry about it.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's also a little bit kind of, it's not consciously weighing on me, but it's a bit weighing on me. It's like, I just don't know. Like, I'm expecting that, you know, current expectations are that my mom is going to pass away really soon. And then the one thing that I was pretty sure was going to bring us back together is going to go away. And yeah, then what? Like, I don't know. So we'll see. Owen loves me, and he like asks for me. And so there's at least, I have somebody on my side. there's somebody rooting for me. So I don't know. And we have, I messaged Jessica at one point saying like, I would love to have another chat and maybe try and reconnect if you want to. And she said she was open to that. I think that has been, obviously it was already backburnered, and I think it's been taken off the stove, but it was nice to at least hear that was a potential that she was open to. So I don't exactly fear that I'll never be able to talk to her again, but it's just a, you know, a thought, a feeling. Oh, goddamn, dude.
Damn those feelings.
Yeah. There's a lot.
What's helping right now?
Psyllium husk. And
I love that guy. I loved him in 28 Weeks Later. He was amazing.
Are you making a Cillian Murphy joke? Yeah. Or is that because he wasn't in that one?
No, he wasn't.
Nice. I love you, mate.
I'm a silly Billy.
You are. You're perfect. What's helping? Man, I really just want to get high. That would be nice, but I'm not doing that right now.
Why not?
Sperm.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't really have time. I've got so much to do.
Yeah.
My mom sent me right now. What she's capable of doing is going on Facebook Reels and sending me links to things that she thinks I'll enjoy, I guess. Okay. And she sent me a video of, one of those fucking AI voiceover bullshit things. And it's just a bunch of videos of cats getting binder clips put on the back of their neck freezing.
Yeah.
And then a fucking AI voiceover saying, oh, this is why that happens. This is why cats freeze. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, well, duh, whatever. And there's just a bunch of cute cats that just like, I can't do anything. And so I replied to my mom like, oh man, I kind of wish I had a little cat paralysis
a bulldog
thing.
Clip.
That I could just chill for a minute. And then I was like, I guess that's what weed is, but it'd also be nice to be able to just take it off and be able to weed is great because it does incapacitate me, but then if I need to be recapacitated, then I can't. I can't sober up that quickly.
What we want is a skip button for the consciousness, Clyde.
We
want to be able to just go for the next like 45 minutes to 6 days. I don't need to be fully conscious and remember and experience. Mm-hmm. I just need to be off. If my autonomic nervous system can function, then that's great. I just don't want to be. I don't want to be perceiving the passage of time for the next bit of time. It would be great to just blip into the into the next bit. That'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stupid perception.
And sex has been great.
Yeah, there you go.
That's been fun.
That'll do it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, fun sex as well, but the sounds
very
things.
Very fun sex. Yeah. New adventurous sex. It's
new adventurous sex.
How's choir going?
It's good. We did a TikTok challenge last week. Which involves hitting a drum. If you imagine if you remember the end of Whitney Houston's cover of I Will Always Love You,
it goes exactly.
So before you get to that bit, we've got I wish you love, and then it slows down.
Yeah.
And then there's a thump of a bass drum.
Mm.
And then we get into the key change. The challenge.
Oh, yeah, I was way too... I was way flat.
It's fine.
Like five notes?
No, I wasn't here to, fine. So the challenge is to hit the drum at the same time as the drum is hitting the song.
Nice.
But it's challenging, and everybody thinks they can do it. Everybody thinks it's easy. Everybody's always too early. Everybody's always too early.
Yeah.
Sometimes by half a second, because it slows down. And so, yeah, we filmed that. I filmed that, and we got a bunch of people to bang a drum, and it was really fun.
That's awesome.
And yeah, we had a really good giggle, and. The day after, believe it was the day after, I went to... So there's a little mini sort of festival that happens once a year in a local park. And I haven't been going consistently, but I have been going since 2005.
Mm.
And I sort of tangentially, or not so tangentially, know one or two people who are involved in it, and that's all lovely. And what was great is we had a bit of a C90, that's the name of the singing group, we had a bit of a C90 meetup with a few of us there. And so I found myself, for the last sort of hour, sat on a big blanket with a couple and a friend, and I was interested in, so one of the people who I'm not going to name, just because if they ever hear this, which they won't, but if they ever hear this, I don't want them to feel awkward. But it's interesting how you can meet certain people and just go, you are instantly like, I don't know what you have, but you have like an aura of just ease and just like, you are easy to be around. And then it makes you realize, like, not that other people are hard to be around, but like,
sure,
some people really radiate that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And are just friendly. And this person's like, they identify as autistic, by which I mean, you know, they mention it. And it's like, okay, well, if any of the traits I thought I might expect from someone who says they're autistic, not that I'm denying that this person's experience, but like, you're really good with people on a natural level, which makes me think, you know, what's interesting about autism is like, I don't know. I'm starting to challenge my own thing about whether actually I am autistic. Like, I know I'm some level of neurospicy. Or what I might say is I have maybe some of the traits of autism,
right.
But it is more environmental than it is sort of dyed in the wool. And yeah, it was really interesting to just like, when you notice, and it's like, yeah, like if you were to visualize people, you would just see certain people with just like this kind of white glow around them that's just like, yeah, they're just super cool to hang with.
Awesome.
And yeah, it was really nice. It was a really nice hang.
Love it.
Showed everyone my tattoo.
Yeah.
Listener, I got a tattoo.
It's on a branch.
So we haven't actually discussed my couple of weeks.
Yeah, man.
But I did get a tattoo on my little arm there, of three little birds. And that was, I think I thought it would be more significant, is not the right word, but I thought it would be like a bigger deal in a sense. And it was like,
yeah, yeah,
pretty fine.
Yep. Yep. I think that leads to why a lot of people tend to, if they get a tattoo, they tend to get many of them. Because once you get the first one,
yeah,
not only does it kind of feel good and it's an interesting process and stuff, but then it kind of feels less significant than you expect it to.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, well, if it's that easy and that not significant, like I might as well get more.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I have felt about it and stuff.
Yeah. It's funny. Like, I showed off my little tattoo, and then this person I was speaking to, who's also the actually, no, I won't. Just again, I don't want to use any kind of identifiable information, just because it's like, why are you describing me in that way? But yeah, someone like then showed me like they've got ink all down one arm and stuff, and I'm just like, I've got my little tattoo, and I'm so proud of it. And they're like, yeah, you know, here's yeah, like, yeah, but yeah, it's not a competition.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it was fun. So in other news, sort of had I finished the Complex PTSD book.
Wow.
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 And I don't know, man.
You don't know.
I don't know, man. I've got my experiences and I've got my my difficulties and my drama.
Yeah.
I've got my adverse experiences.
Yep.
And I went through some of them today with my therapist. And I have, I have a therapist. And I'm like, I don't know. I think part of what I was getting distressed by was that sort of sense of sort of being in the mire and the muck of it. And at the time, because my guy wasn't around and we're back to regular weekly again, I don't know, there was this, like, some of it was just a bit treacly and a bit sort of a morass.
I don't know what either of those terms mean.
You know what treacle is?
A trickle?
Treacle.
Treacle.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Like syrup. Like syrup. Like syrup, okay. You know, syrupy, okay. Treacle. Treacle is a very, have you never heard, and I know this is a very, very English thing, but I'm not sure like which nursery rhymes like translate across the pond, sure. But like half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle. I can't remember the next line.
Never heard it.
Whoops goes the weasel or something. There goes the weasel or something.
I know. Pop goes the weasel.
Pop goes the weasel. Thank you. Yeah, it's pop goes the weasel. It's half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle.
I can't remember
what the next one is.
Those are the words that go with the little song. I only ever hear the dun 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 dun.
Yeah. Half a pound of tuppenny rice, half a pound of treacle. Yeah.
Had no idea there were words.
Weasel. Yeah.
Yep.
So,
So it's syrupy.
Syrupy.
So it's thick, sweet.
Thick, and it's just like goopy and just like, I don't know how I'm going to make my way through this. And also, I'm just like, I don't really want to sit in this because it's not the same as like, I've got a whole lot of grief that I've got to like contend with. And there's stuff I can grieve, and there's stuff I can be frustrated with and stuff that I can get angry about. And anger has been coming up, as a thing.
Good.
And you know, there's stuff to be whatever about, but like,
yeah,
that I don't think there is a final, I'm at the end stage of, The Last of Us Part 2, the game.
Mm.
And I'll try not to be spoilery here, but in the game you play as two characters. We have the protagonist that we came to know and love in the first game, and then you have to play as her antagonist, the person that she is chasing throughout the game.
Mm.
And you come to the whole point of the game is like, yeah, this is a person too. And this person's got their own stuff and their own trauma and their own good-heartedness. Mm-hmm. But they've also got their huge pain for which they also want to exact revenge.
Yeah, hurt people.
Hurt people, hurt, as you say, people. People. And right at the end of the game, there's this incredible moment where... And I will spoil the game because it bears...
It very likely won't play the game, and if I do, I will have forgotten this conversation.
you think you've kind of pretty much like had the big battle, and your antagonist is like, I never want to see you, like comes this close to killing you, and she's like, I never want to see you again, and runs away. It then flashes forward to you in the farmhouse that you and your missus have always dreamed of owning. You've got a little baby and you look after the sheep and you've got to herd the sheep, and then you have a PTSD flashback, and then someone from your old life comes to the farmhouse and says, we found the woman, you know, we found the woman that is your antagonist. You've got to exact revenge. Like, you've got to finish this. And she's initially like, you know, refusal of the call, no. And then she kind of tries to sneak out of the house, and her partner is kind of like, listen, if you go, I sort of implied, like, don't expect me to be here when you, if ever you get back. And so there is this you know, this coda, this reckoning, this final battle that you have to have with this person. And it's amazing. And it's like, it's so well done because there's a further beat, which I won't go into, but like that it's such an impactful moment because you've just had this idyllic life that you've now left to go and pursue this person for the final showdown.
Mm.
I don't see a final showdown in my life. I don't see that happening. Not because I'm avoiding it necessarily, but because I think I don't want to spend too long thinking about just how much was I, you know, where I did have these issues, or how much was I wronged. Like, I was never, you know, there's things I've said before. I was never neglected. I was never without love. I was never, you know, all these various things. Doesn't mean that there aren't things to grieve. Doesn't mean there aren't things, you know, with which I struggled. In and outside the family home.
They also don't even need to be real. They can still be traumas, even if that was just your perception of what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still things that need to be processed, and like the body just like was like, oh, that's something I can't deal with that now. I'm not old enough, capable enough to deal with that. I'm going to stuff it for future me to unravel it.
Yeah.
And so that's all we got to do, just unravel it. But yeah.
Yeah.
There's no
and
final
that's, and that's it. Like, I don't want to unravel it at someone else. Because it's just, yeah, I don't know. It's complex. It's complex.
Sure.
And it's much like a mycelium network, and much like the villains or the big horrible baddies that we have to deal with in The Last of Us. Some of them are intertwined within the walls, and they're actually part of the scenery, and bits of them come out, but like they've got tendrils and networks and stuff that span and run into other things. Like, it's, you know, and trying to rip bits out, it's just like, like trying to replaster a wall, and suddenly, like, before you know it, you've actually ripped out a whole bit of wall, and you're like, oh shit, I was just trying to, you know, repaper it. And so, yeah, I'm sort of interested in figuring out how to work with it, and maybe, you know, spend some time being angry at the bits that I need to be angry at, spending time forgiving the bits that I need to forgive. And just ultimately, just trying to be happy. And
that is the way.
That is the way. This week, it's been interesting because as I was on my way to see my guy this morning, I was like, it's nice because I'm re-finding and re-exercising that muscle of temperance, moderation, without it feeling restrictive or punitive or judgy. So I've got my little eating window, which I'm maintaining when it isn't fun to maintain.
Sure.
And so far, like, or when it's not always convenient or whatever, and it's like, because I'm finally able to, I've caught up with myself, you know, the companion in me hasn't been left behind somewhere, is like, he's running alongside me. It's fairly easy, right now anyway. And because I'm back to doing it for me.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things, like, I am kind of not exactly spoiling for, but ready for, is like the next time someone wants to have a conversation about my fucking weight, it's like, bring it on, because I am now fucking armed.
Hell yeah, brother.
I am armed with so much of, like, this is my boundary. If you like, I'm setting the boundary here. If you want to cross it, we're going to have words. We can part, you know, as friends now. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to push the boundary, then I'm going to walk away. And I'm going to let you know, like, no, that you, this is not territory that you get to have a say in.
Yeah.
You can have your opinions, but you can keep them to your damn self. Because I'm not interested anymore, and I'm not interested in the judgment, and that is starting to feel realer. I'm finding myself able to stand up for myself a little bit more.
Love that.
We've talked before about the song I'll Stand By You by The Pretenders, which has one of the lines, when you're standing at the crossroads, don't know which path to choose, let me come along, because even if you're wrong, I'll stand by you.
Mm.
And the ability to, for me, to be angry and be, like, and not necessarily be righteous, not necessarily be right, because that's one of the things I fear, is, like, if I, when I say lash out at someone, I don't mean, like, unthinkingly, but if I, you know, if I have a go at someone, and I, like... I can't remember if we talked about this last time we spoke, but, like, understanding what healthy conflict is.
Right.
And healthy conflict actually allows for the other side to be wrong. And it allows for the other, it allows for one side to be wrong and the other side to go, that's bullshit. And still for both of them to be okay and to be safe, because they grew up in, you know, because they understand that, well, this is this particular conflict, and it's contained, and we still, you know, love each other or like each other or whatever our other stuff is. You know, there's still a security, a safety there. And for me, I think I have to find that for and in and of myself. Because you know, I'm not going to find it anywhere else. It's not that I'm not going to find it anywhere else. One can't rely on finding safety from other people all the time. Like, you've got to, because you're not always going to be in a safe situation all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're going to be in a tricky spot. Sometimes you're going to be in conflict. Sometimes awful shit is going to happen to you, because life is going to life. Like, it life's at everyone.
Life's all over the place.
It fucking is. And if you can understand how to be a source of safety for yourself, and stand by yourself, then I mean, this fucking song, man, I'll stand by you, won't let nobody hurt you, take me in into your darkest hour and I'll never desert you. I mean, come on. That's what we want for ourselves.
That's all we want. So listener, if you are listening to us now and you have previously been listening to us on Spotify,
well done for making the jump.
Yeah. Thank you for following us to a new platform. we have exited that platform because of Daniel Ek and his use of his Spotify profit to fund AI war drones, which is just fucking gross and dystopian and unthinkable. So I have removed my music and we have removed our podcast from the Spotify platform.
I have removed all of my other shows that were on Spotify.
Amazing.
I don't think I have any other music unless Amuse still has kept up my cover. Which I don't know if it has. I haven't actually looked. But yes, went through the process a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? And I posted some mildly spicy things online to try and encourage other people to do the same. I got at least one reply from someone who was actually trying to do it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. They actually did take their podcast off. And it was a work podcast. And they removed it from Spotify.
Good. Very nice.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this because I've been thinking about projects and things, and thinking about that decision from like a professional point of view, and you know,
yeah.
if I were to have a work, you know, a work podcast, would I put it on Spotify? Because there's the whole thing of. It's professionally advantageous, and yeah. I sat with it for all of half a second and went no, because it's a conversation. Because if someone wants to come to me and say, I tried to get your podcast but it's not on Spotify, it's like, right, here's why. Like yeah. that's deliberate. It's because because I don't support what this person did with the, you know, with the money. And then I mean, There are other good reasons as well. I mean, have you, for example, Brendan, have you heard, Brendan, of The Velvet Sundown?
Oh, I have no idea what that is.
Okay. So The Velvet Sundown is an AI, quote unquote, band.
Okay.
That has infested Spotify.
Okay.
And seemingly... kind of overnight has very many 1,146,033 monthly listeners. And it's kind of, I don't know, like maybe Blue Eyed Soul, maybe kind of CCR adjacent, you know, Creedence, maybe.
John
but
Fogarty.
Like everything is pretty much everything about them is AI generated, including, you know, the photo. There is another one as well, but I can't remember their name. They're a verified artist on Spotify.
Cool.
So
what did they verify?
Well, yeah. And so people are kind of wondering straight away, like they seem to have, like, because there's they don't exist online. Like, they, you know, because they're made up, they don't have a profile. They don't have, you know.
I mean, somebody's behind it, right? Somebody made the prompts to.
Well, this is the question, and this is what's led to the speculation of, is it Spotify? And are we. Because Eck, I believe, has talked about. Not being, not having a problem with AI generated music.
Why the fuck would he?
Yeah. Especially if he can, his company can churn it out and generate it themselves.
Yeah.
Then they are making money hand over fist.
Yep.
And polluting their entire library. And then being able to cut out those pesky creators who demand money all the, you know, all the time. You know, cut them out of the loop. Now, you know, us podcasters, we've enabled Spotify. We've bolstered their catalog, and we got duped into thinking we were supposed to be grateful for that. We were supposed to be grateful for the exposure. And that is one of the real sort of crimes of the internet, I think. And it's like, it's fair enough, whatever, like delete is appropriate. But like, there are justifiable things when you talk about Meta or Instagram, you know, same company. Because yes, Meta is making money, but it's making money through ads. It's not making money through subscriptions. So that's a slightly different thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas us contributing podcasts to the platform, which are just for whatever reason not valued in any monetary sense, but music is because of old systems. So the music has value, but the podcasts don't. But then people pay for Spotify off the back of listening to podcasts, and so like it is much more direct that we are contributing, and we've been led to believe that we were supposed to be grateful for that because we get this big audience. Now, you know, it is different from an Apple or a Google, because Apple have never Like, it's helped their platform to have podcasting.
Yeah.
But they never sold, and they still have never sold a subscription for which podcasting is rolled in. You know, right. You can get an Apple Podcast, Apple Music subscription. That doesn't include podcasts. They're a separate thing. Yeah. And, you know, Google, YouTube, you know, it's roughly kind of the same. It's, you know, sure, there's the whole we get a new audience, and yes, it drove a whole bunch of new people to listen to podcasts, but it also drove a whole bunch of people to think that
that Spotify is the only way to get podcasts.
Yes, and that they basically invented it, and so yeah, all you have to do is get your show on Spotify and it's done.
Right.
And all of that has obviously worked to their favor. And that's also, you know, small potatoes to the fact that the CEO led a 600 million euro fund to buy drones.
They pay out royalties for song listens at less than half the rate of other streaming services.
Yeah. And again, you should be grateful.
Yeah. Because we're the biggest platform.
Yeah.
Well, as always, go say hi to your mom and boycott Spotify. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're not wrong. Go Hawks. Go Hawks?
Go Hawks.
It is Hawks, isn't it?
Yeah. It's,
Hawks.
We're Hawks.
Hawks. Go Hawks.